I believe. Oh, impossible, Lord, our righteous eternal Father. Lord Jesus, we want to express our gratitude and our appreciation unto thee, Master, for your help unto us since we entered this place this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the inspiration of the same. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to your servants unto us. Thank you, Master, for what your word has already done in our lives, Father. Lord Jesus, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We are grateful, Father. We are thankful to make us your children that could hear your word. Not only just your word, but the revealed word of this day. We are grateful unto thee. Father, we pray you take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Be with us, Heavenly Father. Lord, all that you have done in our life, even up to this morning service, Lord, may they be permanent in our lives, Father. Lord Jesus, the revelation, Lord, may you, Master, expand your word the more and the more in our hearts, O living God. That, Master, it will become a revelation in our hearts, O living God. Grant this, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we commit this evening, this afternoon, so giving this service to your great holy hands, Father. Lord Jesus, no man, O living God, can say anything that is worthy to be said except you help him, Master. May you help me, O living God. Anoint your servant, inspire your servant, and speak through your servant unto your people. Help your people, Master, and grant understanding and revelation of the same, and let your word anchor something in our hearts this evening, Master. Grant this, Heavenly Father. May the blessed Holy Spirit take perfect and absolute control of the service, that your name, Master, will be glorified, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. Be with your servant in other places. May you continue to help them, Master. Anoint them also and inspire them and use them to be a channel of blessing to your people, Master. Thank you for granting all this request, Father. Blessed be thy name, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for coming for the afternoon forgiveness service. Let's take our hymn as we sing this song before we open the word. You can have your seat so that you don't have to stand for too long. Just be lively as you sing. 43. Jesus has a table spread. We are not rushing. There is nowhere we are rushing to. So just relax. Oh, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. If I see chosen people come and die, with his manner he does feed. Our supplies are heavenly. Oh, this it is up with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and guide the master, call it, come and guide. Oh, you may be at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, you've never parted it on the water, little one. To the hungry, call it now, come and die. The disciples came to learn, thus obey Christ's command. For the master called to their command. Oh, they are defined, they are desire. Bread of fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfied their hungry levitan. Oh, command.
the master calling, commander. Oh, ye may be sad, Jesus, table of the time. You have the mighty chief, on the water, it is we take his pride to the level at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, tribal a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus they will face eternally. Commander, the master calling, commander. Oh, ye may face at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, ye who fed the mighty chief, turn the water into wine. Praise ye the Lord. Soon the bridegroom will come to take his bride, to be ever at his side. All the saints, all the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, it will be a glorious sight. All the saints in what? Spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. May everyone be counted worthy to be there in Jesus' name. God bless you. Let's start on our feet as we take our Bible and read from the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We read verses 1 to 8. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for the Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces, and were sure afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's also turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to, I think that should be verses 1 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, devoureth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the element of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, let's take note of that. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God to Christ. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. So we are still continuing with this sermon, Hear Ye Him, that Brother Abraham preached in 6207-11. Well, this evening, we might have to read some scriptures. Because, you know, it is actually, if you want to see everything that Brother Abraham said about this teaching, go to the sermon Adoption. Adoption part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4. Everything, everything about adoption is here. But like I said, we are not going fully into that. We just want to look at the way they preach it in the evangelical way here. Praise ye the Lord. So we, last time we got to where Brother Abraham was talking about a woman that said he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was divine. And I think we close at that head. So, but this evening, let's go back a little so that we can at least refresh our mind before we continue. Brother Abraham said in paragraph 79 of the same sermon, paragraph 79 of Hear Ye Him, 79. I just want to start there. So, but when God gets ready to do anything, he calls somebody aside and speak from heaven first. Then they know exactly what they are talking about. They don't have to fear anything or take anything of anybody's idea. They know exactly what is required, and they go get it. That is the message that God always speaks first. Praise ye the Lord. Brother Abraham taught us that when God wants to do anything on earth, he shows it in the heavens. And when God wants to send any message across to the people, God will have to meet with the messenger, especially at the backside of the desert. And every Christian also, there is a day that they have to meet with God. Because this pilgrim pathway, we cannot run it on our knowledge and our ability, on our intellect. It takes God to help us to run this race. That is why it is highly important for everybody that calls himself a Christian to meet God at the backside of the desert. Because without meeting God at the backside of the desert, the journey might be a failure. May God help us. That was why when Moses started to do the work of God by his own ability, by his own intellect, by his own effort, Moses did what? He failed. But when he met God at the backside of the desert, when he was trying with his own ability, he only killed one man. And the secret was made known. And he had to run away. But when God now came in him to do the work, the whole Egypt almost perished. And nobody can arrest him because God was in him. Praise ye the Lord. So that is why in this pilgrim pathway, there is no one that can run this race without God. There is no one that can run this race without the Holy Ghost. We've got, all of us got to meet God at the backside of the desert. That is why the journey will be smooth. That is not to say you will not meet with persecution and trials and temptation and things on the way. But he who made the promise that, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the world, we see you through every trial. We see you through every temptation. We see you through every persecution. Because he made the promise. Praise ye the Lord. So, Brother Abraham also talked about John the Baptist. He said, John the Baptist, before he came out to baptize the people unto repentance, God had to meet him. And the same God that met him told him that he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining is the one that will baptize every soul with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. That was why his job was easy, because he is to do what? He is to make known the Messiah. He is to go in the power of the Spirit to tell the people to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and to tell the people that the Messiah is here. So when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the Spirit descending on him and abiding on him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Praise ye the Lord. So, okay, let's continue. Now, but in this place, the scripture we read, Brother Abraham said, here, God was going to do something great, because he was bringing forth Peter, James, and John to witness what he wanted, what he wants to do. These men, these are the great men, the gift that he has with him. He called the three to do what? To witness. Because when God wants to do anything, a memorial or anything, God always wants people to witness it. And these witnesses are not just to keep quiet. They are to make what? To make known what they have witnessed. Praise ye the Lord. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ had Peter, James, and John with him. They went to the mountain. And Brother Abraham said, Peter represented faith. James represented hope. While John represented charity. And then, those are earthly what? Witnesses. God also, in this case, had heavenly witnesses. Abraham said, that was why Moses, Elias, were in this building, in this revelation. Praise you, the Lord. Okay. Maybe I should read. All right. Paragraph 82. All right, okay. Okay, let's start from paragraph 81. All right, 80. And here, God was going to do something great, because he was bringing forth Peter, James, and John. Now that is, I call it hope, faith, and charity. The three great gifts of God. Say, take Peter for faith, and James for hope, and John is always love, which is charity. And it is faith, hope, and charity with him. And he goes up to the mountain because he is feasting to do something. He is going to make an expression. And he wants it to be confirmed. And he always confirmed it with three witnesses, two or three witnesses. That is an Old Testament statement, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And he goes up to the mountain, calling these three men, three outstanding gifts of the people that were with him, and brings them up to the mountain. And then he has three heavenly beings. Something must go to take place. He has got three of the earthly witnesses and three heavenly witnesses. There is Moses, Elijah, and Jesus transfigured, transformed. And there was Peter, James, and John, the earthly and the heavenly, all meeting together now. Praise the Lord. Okay, 82. And now Moses and Elijah, then Jesus was transfigured before them, and his raiment shined like the sun. Now, what was he trying to do here? We find out that they went up and they found a cloud overshadowed him. His cloth was changed. The vesture that he was in, and it shined like the sun in its brightness. And a cloud was over him, and a voice saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Praise the Lord. So, Now, let me just try to narrate before we go on. This is what God, Brother said, this is, God will not do anything that he will ask the people to do. God will always, okay, let me try to read it the way he said it. He said, God will not ask you to do anything that he will not do himself. Praise the Lord. He said, God will not ask you to do anything that he will not do himself. Can you find it? Can you locate it? It's there. You see. Let me try to. Okay. Now, to my opinion, what he was doing, God never asked anybody to do anything that he doesn't do himself. Praise the Lord. What was God doing here? For many of us understand what he is doing, but some people might not understand what God was doing here. What was God doing here? God, in the Old Testament, gave the people of Old Testament a way that they do these things. God told them that, Baba said, a man that is wealthy, that has a business, when a child is born to his house, when that child is a male child, is a son, is heir to all that the man has. Praise the Lord. Just like we read in Galatians chapter 4. That child, being a child, as a child, he is not better than a servant when he's just a little child. He is heir to all that the father had as a little child. But the father has a business. And that father will want his child to do what? To take over his business. To be heir of all that he had. Now, but the father will not just, he will not just want his child to just behave anyhow. That father, when that child gets to the age of tutor, or get to the age that he can learn, the man will go and look for the best tutor that he knows, best teacher that he could find, that will tell him the truth about his child, that will give him the right, give his child the right training. Not just give him the right training. Give him the right training is number one. Then, as the child is being trained, the father depends on the teacher to tell him how his child is performing with what is being taught and the behavior of that child. Praise the Lord. I believe that is why we got the ideal of school. In the Old Testament, it was not a school. The man will go and hire a teacher that will come and teach his child at home. Now it has come to a global way that we now made it school. You see, when we go to school, it is not the report that we receive. Many of us don't know it, don't know this. The report that our children bring home is not only their marks that we are supposed to look at. There is a position for their academic performance. There is always a scoring also for their behavior in the school. But many of us, you just look at what did you get in physics? What did you get in chemistry? What did you get in mathematics? That is all that we are concerned about. But there is also a portion of that report card or report sheet that you are having at your hand that is telling you the behavior of your child in the school. Praise the Lord. So, but most of us, we just look at, okay, you did well in physics, chemistry, oh, very good, you are doing well. But the teacher is supposed to report about his performance. There is a ranking of his behavior and everything, and the teacher is supposed to write a little report about that child, apart from their, if the teacher wants. But these days, may God have mercy on us, the teachers are no longer telling the truth. They will like to tell you what you want to hear. That they are good performance. Keep it up. That is what they say we should be doing now. Put more effort. That's what they say we should be doing now. But actually,
You are supposed to tell the parents, give report about that child to the parents. Praise the Lord. So the man, when he's looking for a tutor, a teacher, is looking for a teacher that will tell him the truth and also tell him the performance of his child in the what is training him about. So he will look for the best teacher. The best teacher will come home, they will teach him, and the man is expecting a report from the teacher. How is my child doing? Oh, your child is doing well. And he says, he's trying. Or you say, your child is not trying, no, he's not doing well, oh. You need to do something about him, oh. And he's lousy. He this, he's that. That is what the teacher is supposed to do. Or the tutor. To train, to give the report back to the man. And if it is on the good side, say, ah, your child part is doing very well. He's exactly like you. And he's very brilliant, he's very smart, and he's very respectful. He's very obedient. Aha. The man is happy. So, okay, continue with him. So the man of the house, we hearing this report, believing the tutor to have told him the right thing, as he sees the child growing also, he will now appoint a time that he will perform a ceremony for this boy, because he's a boy. He will now perform the ceremony for this boy or this young man, as the case may be. Now this boy have gotten report from the teacher that he's doing well, he's smart, he's very good. So he will now call people together, come and see the adoption of my son. So he will give the son a good robe before the old people, and he will tell them that he has made it known in the way that they do the ceremony that he has adopted his son, especially on his business. So from that day on, whatever that boy says on his father's business, it is as good as the father. Whatever that child, that son signs, if the father has a bank, whatever that boy signs in that company is as good as the father. Nobody can check it, because already the boy has been adopted into that business. Praise ye the Lord. So that is what they do in the Old Testament. That's what God has them. Not that God they do, what God has them to do. Praise ye the Lord. So I think we get the picture now. Do we get the picture? God bless you. All right. So it was God that has them to do that. And that's what Brother Abraham is saying, that God will not ask anybody to do anything that he does not do himself. Now, last Sunday, we were saying that, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son. The Bible, he said, he calls God his Father, isn't it? And the Bible says he's a Son, isn't it? Hey, Damilo. I don't know. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Uh-huh. And the Bible says he's a son. The promise of God about his coming was that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Alright. Now, I was saying last Sunday that the way Jesus Christ our Lord is a son is not the way we are sons to our parents. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me establish that. Now, you and I were born by the union of our father and our mother. And everything that has to do with us, it is part from the father, part from the mother that made us. That's what the science is. All right. Now, in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, I said last Sunday, we all know, we all agree, that It was a creative power of the Almighty God that created a body for himself in the womb of Mary. So Joseph had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Praise ye the Lord. God created in the womb of Mary, in birth, God created in the womb of Mary a body for himself. Praise ye the Lord. I think last Sunday we said that enough. I wouldn't go to that one again. So in birth, that was immaculate conception that the Lord, that of our Lord Jesus Christ, that brought him back, that brought him here on earth. That is in birth. Two, you and I, we are a separate entity from our Father. Isn't it? Okay, wait a minute. I want to read from, I don't know how you will get it, page 29. When Brian was talking about is both Lord and Christ. I don't know, okay. So let me just try to read. Now, if Jesus is both Lord and Christ, then he, Jesus, is and cannot be else but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in one person manifested in the flesh. It is not God in three persons, blessed Trinity, but one God, one person with three major titles. Are you there? Not yet. Let me continue. We did with three offices manifesting those titles. Hear it once again. This same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Lord, Father, and Christ, the Holy Spirit, are Jesus. For he, Jesus, is both of them, Lord and Christ. If that doesn't show us the true revelation of the Godhead, nothing will. Lord is not another one. Christ is not another one. This Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ, one God. Philip one day said to him, to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So why do you say, show us the Father? I and my Father are one. I quoted that once, and a lady said, you have not gotten it as well? I don't know. How do I help you to get it now? Chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sir? Okay, it's there. Okay, thank you. All right. So where am I? Okay, Philip said, let's go to where Philip said. All right. Philip one day said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So why do you say, show us the Father? I and my Father are one. I quoted that once, and a lady said, just a minute, Mr. Abraham, you and your wife are one. I said, not that kind. She said, I beg your pardon. So I said to her, do you see me? She said, yes. I said, do you see my wife? She said, no. I said, then the oneness is a different kind. For he said, when you see me, you see the Father. Praise the Lord. That is where I'm going. When we see Jesus, we see who? We see the Father. I and you, when we are anywhere, people see us, they don't see our Father. But because we don't go with our Father, and we cannot go anywhere we go with our Father. It is not possible. Because you and I are different entities from our fathers. Praise the Lord. Alright, let's now go to the Bible. Let's go to the scriptures. All right.
of course, let's the second one, which is, let's see, read Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, that is where it started. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. All right. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased to dwell in. But Abraham said, that scripture was not properly written. Praise ye the Lord. But Abraham said, they put the verb before the adverb. That is why it is written like this, that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But Abraham said, it should be in whom I am well pleased to dwell. Praise the Lord. So this was when God came into the body that he created for himself. So Jesus Christ was both man and what? God. Jesus was both what? Man and God. 100% man, 100% God. Okay. Hold on a minute. Alright. Let's also look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, from verse 7 to 11. This is what Abraham referred to here. John, let's read it. From verse 7. Okay. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou to then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is me. Or else, believe me for the very word's sake. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter. Are you following me? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. All right. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their transgression on them, and had committed unto all the word of reconciliation. Yes, sir. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Do God dwell in you as he dwell in Christ in the same measure? Let's look at what Colossians says. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All means what? All means all. Into God. Dwelleth in Jesus Christ. And this dwelling is what? Is fullness.
which is what? 100%. Praise the Lord. So, the way that you and I are sons to our Father is different from the way you can refer to Jesus as the Son of God. Because the God that sent him was 100% in. Everywhere he goes, God Almighty is going. And Jesus does nothing but what he sees the Father do it. Is that correct? He said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. Praise the Lord. So, when we say Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we should go with that understanding, not like you and I were sons to our parents. Praise the Lord. All right. That is that. Then Brother Abraham taught us that, but Abraham said that is why he believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue. So last Sunday we also look at the woman that said that Jesus Christ was not divine, and how Abraham explained to us that he is not man, but God that doeth all the things that he did in him. Now let's continue. All right. So I think that is settled. Now, but Abraham said, now let's come to this son in this house. The son that was born to in the house of a man, of a wealthy man that has been looked for a tutor. Now, but Abraham said in John chapter 14, Abraham also corrected the scripture there. John chapter 14, verse 2. That you see that in paragraph 98 of our sermon. Abraham said this. Okay, the scripture says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, paragraph 98, Brother Abraham said. Now the Father had a great kingdom. You notice over here, also in the Bible, it says in Matthew, and in John, St. John 14, I will take that one. Another English interpretation of it said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Doesn't that sound kind of a strange to us today? In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions in a little house. Many mansions in a house. The understanding, okay, all of today, in our different house, can you get mansion out of it? No. But the Bible is saying here that in my Father's house are many mansions. Abraham said that sounds strange. But then Abraham explained that the people that interpreted or translated for King James during his time, in the time of King James, a house is referred to as a kingdom. Not just the physical house, a kingdom is referred to as a house. So in my Father's kingdom are many mansions. That is the way that scripture ought to be written. Praise the Lord. In my Father's kingdom are many mansions. Because and the Father of the King of the kingdom is the Father of the house. All right, let me just read it here. In my Father's house are many mansions. Mansions in the little house. Many mansions in the house. Now you see, and the translator that translated that for king See, or King James. In that day, a kingdom was called a house. And the father was a king over the house. In my father's kingdom are many mansions. Is the right way, the Hebrew way of interpreting. Now listen. Now, Moffat made it worse than ever. He said that in my father's apartment house are many apartments. Like we are going up there too. That shows what a carnal mind can do with the word of God. You see that? What a carnal man without the Holy Spirit can do with the word of God. That is why Brother Brown said, Brother Brown mentioned it here, that he said he saw the painting of Adam and Eve. No, Brother Sam said in the morning that Eve must be the most prettiest woman in that day. But our artists, in the way they will paint their own, Brother said they painted Eve to be most horrible. Now you see here, let me read it to you. Alright. 11. I think it's there. Okay. I stood here not long ago in Athens, Greece, and seeing the picture painted of what they call Adam and Eve. That Eve was the most hideous looking thing I've ever seen in my life. And Adam looked like some prehistoric giant. Why? It goes to show that what the carnal conception of what God's creation is. It takes the Spirit of God to reveal things. And God's word is revealed by His Spirit. That is right. Is hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent and reveals to babe such as we learn. Praise the Lord. That is why we have so many paintings of what does it represent the scriptures? Or this painting of snake. You see, if you read the Bible, that painting ought not to be. Because the Bible says that this serpent was an upright creature, can speak. The most subtle of all the animals in the field. And it was upright. So, and they say that he brought an apple. May God be gracious. All right. Oh, mercy. God have mercy. Okay, while we are on that thought, let me just read this. Sisters, listen attentively. All right. Because our time is gone, we cannot do much again. But let me read this. Abraham was... because of the thought. All right. All right. Bear with me. I want to bring out. Let's see. Right. Okay. Paragraph 124. Paragraph 124. Okay? Paragraph 124. We will close on that. Not long ago, I stood there in South Africa at a meeting one day and seeing as many as 10,000 native women didn't know right and left hand, naked, as they came in this world and received Christ as personal Savior. And while they were standing there with their hands up and received Him, Jesus Christ, when they dropped their hands, they folded their hands to walk away, covering up as much of them as they could. Holy Ghost Himself making them know they were naked. Holy Ghost Himself making them know that they were naked. It's not happy that we make a woman to know that she's naked. It takes God to make a woman to know that you are naked. All right, let's continue. How can you say that that blanket native who knows nothing about God received the Holy Ghost and realized they are naked, and these American women stripping every year and claim to be singing in choir and Christians supposed to be? There is something wrong somewhere, and it hurried with God or his Bible, and you know that is true. No wonder we can't have revival. No wonder we can't press into this. No wonder the things can't happen. The tutor is coming before the father, shaking his head. Now listen. Abraham said, Abraham was talking about the immoral behavior of the people when he said this, as we try to close. That is 117, paragraph 117. 117. All right, let's start from 116. All right, 115. Let's start from 115. I could say something right burning here. It might hurt, but you know, this is a house of correction. You believe it? I'm glad you said that. That means so be it. What do you think that God will do today when the Holy Spirit comes and tell him that in our churches, what we have accepted, dogma, not in this place, I'm just reading, that we accepted dogma in the stead of his word? What do you think? We accept creed instead of Christ. What do you think he does when he comes up and says that his daughters have all bobbed off their hair, cut off their hair, wearing shorts, smoking cigarettes? The Bible says such can't enter to misbehave. You say it don't make any difference. Don't you let the devil tell you that. If God said so. Paul said in here, in Galatians chapter 1 verse 8, if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than this that I have preached, let him be accursed. Why did he make so much difference? Even the little thing of Lot's wife, even turning, looking over her shoulder, and turned to a pillar of salt. The angel told them, leave this place. He said, don't look back. That was the message of the angels. Am I right? He said, it doesn't matter. Don't look back. What is don't look back? It has to do with all this thing that we are talking about. Just don't look back. We make me to miss heaven. But that is the message of the angel. Don't look back. She said, it doesn't matter. Why she was going? Of course, like Pastor used to say, she is a woman. See, her children are there in the fire that are to burn. Oh, you said her children? Yes. It was not only the two that came out that are the children of Lot. The Bible taught us that. He has sons-in-law in the place. So, some of our children are still there. But the angel said, all that the angel said, don't look back. That is the message. But because, and not only our children, all our properties and our things were there. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. She couldn't stay with that message. Don't look back. They were going, this angel said, doesn't matter now. She did what? Over her left shoulder. And she became what? Pillar of salt. Don't look back. That's just the simple message. Don't look back. He said it doesn't matter. Look, okay, it's not yet four. There's something here also I want to show you. Okay, let me look for it. Paragraph Paragraph 121. Paragraph 121. Sometimes ministers will say something. In our hearts we say, don't mind them, their own is too much. Paragraph 121. What do you do tonight? Let off on Wednesday night. Maybe by 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, maybe you don't even come to prayer meeting. You want to go to see some hot, filthy television thing of some woman married 4 or 5 times. Did I read right? You want to go and see some old, filthy television thing of some woman married 4 or 5 times to some man, or man married 4 or 5 times, then say you love God? Do you understand what that means? Did you understand that? You are going to look at a program that is being man or being shown by a man that is married 4 or 5 times while you are supposed to be in church. Or a woman married 4 or 5 times. That is why we say, those of you watching football, you go and watch football of men that we played here. Those ones are the ones that are entertaining you. You see what Barbara said here? Okay, we have not finished, so we are coming. When the ministers will tell you that we'll be showing to the whole world, somebody because the name of sociality and bad day, you go and show trousers, I mean, people wearing trousers, you go and show them for what God hates. You might say that is his own idea. Okay, hear what Brabham is saying here. All right, let's finish it. Okay, you want to go see some whole feed television thing of some women or woman married 4 or 5 times to some man or man married 4 or 5 times, then say you love God. Stay away from prayer meeting. That is right. Watch We Love Susie or Elvis Presley or some of them guys that sold their birthright for a mesh of pottage. I don't know whether there are some of us on Wednesday that we listen to Kokoro Alate on Wednesday where you are supposed to be in church. You listen to Kokoro Alate. When you are supposed to be in church, it is Kokoro Alate that you are listening to. I used to, some years back, when I would be going home after service, I would be seeing every people would be taking their phones. They'd be listening to a program. I said, well, what program are they listening to? I will see people listening to program. When going home, people listen, they are with their, they want to listen to that program. What is so interesting in this program? Until I understood that it is Kokoro Alate. You stayed home to listen to Kokoro Alate on Wednesday, when you are supposed to be in prayer, and you call yourself a Christian. God be merciful to us. I'm not saying you should not listen to radio programs, but even this program, what do you learn from these programs? I don't know. All right. So I watched Susie or some of this program. Some of them guys that sold their birthright for a mess of pottage. If this ever have any meaning to us, then we should know that whatever program, whatever thing we want to involve ourselves in, we should check it very well and make sure that it is of God and not inspiration from the pit of hell. Because these people that are of the world, I don't know what we can gain from them that we amount for our soul salvation. I don't know. I was telling my family that if this word of God cannot make us wise, what else will make us wise? May God help us. All right. Okay, I think we've attended to some of these things that I want us to look at. God bless you. Hear ye him. God's word is for us to live by. Let us check ourselves. God's word is for us to do what? To live by. Every word of God. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that did what? Proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. And God has his mouthpiece today. Whatever Brother Abraham says, I was saying in the vision. Yeah, but why we close on this? I was saying in the vision that some of us are praying to God for deliverance. But then, we argue with the word. How can we be delivered when we have to argue with the word? The word of God says this, but we want to have our way. You see, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth, it is the truth that will set us free. But when we now argue with the thing that will set us free, how can we be free? It's not possible. We've got to accept everything that the word of God says and surrender to everything that the word of God says for us to have freedom and deliverance. Praise ye the Lord. I have a lot of testimonies. I've not given all my testimonies. Those years we used to have VG. Oh, mercy. When I came from deeper life with all kind of things. In this same local assembly, one after the other, God delivered me from many evil spirits. This last vigil, I was standing there when Brother Brown was praying. We were listening to tape. When Brother Brown was praying, something happened to me. Right there, I was standing. You see, God is still delivering you. With this Bible in my hand, I lay my hands on the Bible. I tell you, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is still delivering up till today. I'm 100% sure of that. I'm not deceiving you. I'm telling you the truth. But if you want to be delivered, you have to surrender to this word of God. If you argue with it, no way for you. I'm sorry to tell you that. Until you learn to surrender, until you learn to say, Lord, I'm wrong, you are right. That is when your deliverance is there. But when we argue, it doesn't matter, this one, that one, they say this, their own is too much. Continue with your ways. But when we surrender, say, Lord, Brabham always said, Brabham will tell the people after the service, he said, until you admit that, you say, Lord, I am wrong, you are right. Not until then we can have deliverance. But when we want to be yourself, you want to still maintain your integrity in your own simple, evil way, forget deliverance. Let us bow down our heads. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people. Just play it. Let's commit ourselves unto the Lord. Commit yourself unto the Lord. Whatever God has spoken to you this evening, Lord, pray and commit yourself unto God. Don't forget that that same Jesus knows what you are thinking about. That same Jesus sees your heart. That same Jesus is here to grant unto you your heart desire. He has not spoken for speaking sake. He has a purpose for passing across what he has passed across to us this evening. Why don't you commit yourself unto him? If you want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you raise up your hand while I hand over to the associate pastor to pray for us. God bless you, sir.
Our gracious Father, we thank you very much for your word that we have listened to for this 1 hour. Lord, we thank you for your program for us as your children and the opportunity you are giving to us to have access to the truth so that we can be set free. Thank you for the doctrines part of this sermon, the correction, the instruction, the rebukes, all in righteousness that we might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lord, we just pray, O God, that none of us could be a forgetful ear. And Lord, may you deliver every one of us from our stubborn spirit. Lord, that we be humble before you to surrender whatsoever is standing as hindrance, Lord, from you having total preeminence in our life. Master Jesus, we pray, O God of heaven, that this that we have had this evening, may you find a resting place in our heart. Give us divine revelation of the same. Lord, just have your way in the life of each and every one of us. May none of these things condemn us on the day of judgment. Master, we look up unto you for more revelation of every portion of your word that you are giving unto us to live by in this our own time. Let your spirit itself, Lord, make these things, O God, to become flesh in us, that we can be your true representative and become your true witnesses wherever we find ourselves. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Master Jesus, Lord, you took your Son after he had been fully obedient unto every instruction to the Mount of Transfiguration, O God, to adopt him as your Son and transfer every authority unto him, that we should hear him. Master Jesus, and your prophet, O God, also said that we, O God, are to also grow to that state of adoption, where, O God, we will be given authority to do things on your behalf. Help every one of us. May we not become forgetful of these things. We pray, O God, that as we meditate upon them, your spirit will expatiate them in our hearts. Grant it, King of glory. Whatsoever need that your children have that made them to raise up their hand, you are the only one that knows the need that is behind the hands. May you supply the needs, Heavenly Father, be spiritual, be physical. You are God that knows the secret of men's heart. May you meet every need, dear Father. If it is for deliverance, may you deliver. If it is for the Holy Ghost, may you grant it. If it is for more of you, may it be granted, dear Father. If it is for whatsoever, even if anyone is standing for somebody else, thou art God that knoweth how to direct, Lord, the needs and the prayers of your people, may you grant it, dear Father. Thank you, King of glory. Lord, may each of our requests, needs, and desires turn to testimonies to the glory of your name. Well, servant, you have used to bring your blessings unto us. We pray you replenish him for the virtues that has gone forth from him. May you lift all the horn of his ministry. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. As we dismiss back to our home shortly, Lord, we pray that your mercy that brought us will take us home safely, protect us from every evil, O God. And Lord, this new week that we have just started, Lord, we pray that your grace will see us through the week. Be with students, be with workers, be with business people, be with housewives, be with young children, be with the old people. Lord, touch the sick and the afflicted for good and perfect health. We pray, Lord, that you watch over travelers and grant them journey mercies. Lord, in all that we lay our hands upon in the course of this week, may they prosper. Thank you, Eternal Father. Your servants that are not here that have traveled, when they will be coming back, may you bring them back safely. Lord, even your servant that went to Bakata, bring him back safely also. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting these petitions unto us, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. We thank God for bringing us to the end of today's services. I will see you after the service. Just no time for it somehow. God bless you. We meet by God's grace, God's prayer in our life on Wednesday for another time of fellowship. Shall we rise on our feet? One of the special numbers was already dismissing us in the beginning of the service. We have finally come to the end of the service now. So we can take the name of Jesus Christ with us.